I'm going to be speaking on a project that I was involved in, and it was the evaluation and correlation of kernel characteristics and Eastern filbert blight response to the genetic backgrounds of hazelnut germplasm from Turkey and the Baltic region. Now, just to give a little background, I'm coming at this from the perspective of New Jersey growers, which we don't have a hazelnut industry in the northeastern United States. So it's kind of unique in that we're breeding for resistance to Eastern filbert blight, which I'll go into in a minute. But we were interested in this crop because it's a perennial crop. It's sustainable, low inputs. It's something that we could hold over. We do not have a nut crop that we are growing commercially in the northeastern United States. So this is one that we've kind of honed in on. We've also seen a great consumer demand that continues to increase. In New Jersey, we actually have M&M Mars, their headquarters. And so that's kind of a unique, from a unique standpoint, where we could be selling some of this product to. We've also been promoting the fact and interested in the fact that it's a healthy nut. It has a lot of omega-3 fatty acids, kind of another way to promote it in the area. Now, one of our major production obstacles in New Jersey, even more so than it has been in Oregon, is Eastern filbert blight. Whatever the resistance that has been in the hazelnuts that have been bred in Oregon and Washington State seems to break down in New Jersey, nearly all of it. So we've had a lot of efforts toward trying to breed for resistance to this. As it was touched upon before, the fungus is a Nisogram anomala. It infects the tree, and then it's latent for 1 to 2 years. Ultimately, produces these perennial cankers that'll girdle the trees. It's endemic and non-symptomatic in the native species that we have in the northeastern United States, Corylus americana, but it will kill the European species, Corylus avellana, after 4 to 7 years, sometimes earlier in our area. Control can be very expensive, and we've really looked to try to promote this crop again as a sustainable crop where we don't want to use a lot of fungicides. So in our efforts, we've looked at a sustainable control measure as being the development of resistant plant material, and that's kind of where this whole commercial industry or the idea of a commercial hazelnut industry in the northeastern United States was born. So my specific project that I'm going to be talking about is related to this breeding program and how really all the breeding programs that we have are built upon great large germplasm collections. And so we were looking to utilize molecular tools to characterize new sources, new germplasm collections, and potential new sources of resistance to Eastern filbert blight. In addition, so we want to understand the genetic backgrounds. We want to actually see if these germplasm collections have resistance to Eastern filbert blight. And then we want to see if they're actually even commercially viable, if we have nut quality that would be meeting the standards of companies like M&M Mars that we have in our area and Ferrero Rocher. This also helps us to really more effectively utilize the germplasm collection, especially by getting the genetic backgrounds of this plant material so that we can achieve our breeding goals faster and more effectively. So this particular germplasm collection is interesting. It was collected, seed lots were collected from Turkey, from Latvia, and from Lithuania. Just to give you a little background, Turkey is the top producer of hazelnuts in the world, 70% of the world market. And this is a really special germplasm collection because for a long time, they had their own germplasm collection in Turkey, but we had no access to it. This is kind of their prized possession. And they actually flooded the market back in 2003 with hazelnuts. And the United States sued them, and in return, one of the negotiation points was that we would have access to this germplasm collection. And so this is the result of that then. Really, it was Sean Mellenbacher that made this collection, but he kindly gave us some of this plant material to grow at in New Jersey. And then the other collections were made by Tom Molnar at Rutgers University and one of his assistants. So we have this huge collection of plant material. They were germinated. They were planted out. This ended up being hundreds of seedlings. They were, I'm not going to go into the details, but essentially they were inoculated with Eastern filbert blight to be able to determine which ones were resistant to this disease and which were susceptible. That was done in the greenhouse and that was done in the field. They're growing out in central New Jersey, still, the ones that are alive after all of this. That's where they, that was where the final place that they were planted at. Basically, what I'm, in looking at these plants and whether there is the resistance, the scale that we're looking at is we're saying if plants had no detectable Eastern filbert blight, then we were calling them resistant. So they were given a zero. All the in-betweens, a single canker to multiple cankers on one branch, and up to about 50% of the branches were having cankers, we're calling that tolerant. And then beyond that, we're calling them susceptible, just as a general way to try to categorize what we're seeing in the field and what we can actually try to move forward in the breeding program. Tolerant isn't ideally what you want to have in a tree, but maybe you could utilize that for some of their nut characteristics. What we ended up seeing in terms of the ratings, these are ratings in 2015, I'll have to say. We do have new ratings. We do have new data that we need to integrate into the final paper that we're going to be writing up on this project. We saw a total of 45 trees with resistance or tolerance to this disease. Now, the interesting thing is we didn't see clusters of resistance in any particular seed lot. So that leads us to believe that we are possibly getting some of the resistance and tolerance from a pollen parent as opposed to it being a gene that was in the mother plant from that seed lot. So these trees were the ones that we ended up moving forward and collecting leaves for a genetic diversity study, and then also nuts were sampled from these trees to do nut evaluations to see if they had characteristics that we would want to have in a commercial variety. So we did a 50 nut evaluation. The ratings are pretty straightforward. We were looking to see the proportions of blanks, moldy, shriveled, things that were unsaleable. The other things that we were looking at in making our ratings of which had the best quality nuts were a blanch test to see how easily the pellicle rubbed off. This at the far right is what we're looking for. Hazelnuts where the pellicle rubs off fully because that's what the candy companies want. So we ended up coming up with a total of 9 different seedlings that we felt that the kernel characteristics were commercially viable. They were the best out of all of the seedlings that were resistant or tolerant to Eastern filbert blight. So keeping that in mind. Then on to the genetic testing that we did. We collected the leaf tissue, like I said, from all the seedlings. We also collected leaf tissue from 36 reference cultivars. We made our decision of reference cultivars based on previous genetic testing that had been done of over 300 hazelnut cultivars in a genetic analysis test project that we had done before, and they represented all the genetic groups that we had in that project. So then we took this plant tissue, we used SSR markers to amplify the alleles, a total of 17 alleles in each one of the seedlings and cultivars. And ultimately, we developed a dendrogram to see what the relationships were, and then we looked at it in a different way. We looked at a principal component analysis as another means of corroborating that dendrogram that we were seeing. So now, putting it all together, here's what we started seeing. In general, we're seeing two groupings that kind of stood out to us. The grouping at the bottom left was a lot of the Latvian, most of the Latvian and Lithuanian seedlings fell in there. Some others were scattered throughout. And then a lot of the Turkish seedlings kind of fell in the second half of the dendrogram. A portion of them were very genetically similar, found in that one particular square in the bottom right. again, we were seeing, we could kind of discern these same groups in the principal component analysis. It's these same seedlings that fell out when we were just simply looking at where the seedlings fell in relation to the known cultivars. And we wanted to see whether they're actually genetically different than a lot of the cultivars that are out on the market right now and a lot of the growers are growing. In terms of the tolerance and resistance to Eastern filbert blight, we had a lot of seedlings, a vast majority of the seedlings that we had in the study are resistant or tolerant to Eastern filbert blight. And all of those in those particular groups that kind of popped out for us did have tolerance and resistance. So that's a good thing, and that we're seeing that these seedlings that seem to be genetically different from the seedlings that, or cultivars that are already being grown, show unique profiles, and they are resistant or tolerant to this disease. So from a breeding standpoint, this is a good thing. Here, when we're looking at the principal component analysis, it was kind of all over the board in terms of resistance, the seedlings and cultivars being resistant, tolerant, or susceptible. They kind of fell all over the place. You couldn't really discern any particular groupings of resistant grouping versus tolerant grouping, that sort of thing. Now, in terms of the nut quality, it was heartening in that a lot of the, several of the seedlings in those groupings, those unique groupings, at least in this particular one, this Latvian-Lithuanian grouping, that does have some Turkish in there, they all kind of fell together. And they had very good nut quality, the top, some of the top nut quality of all the seedlings that were in this study. Again, looking at the other, the lower grouping here, we saw a few seedlings or one seedling in that group that had top nut quality. So again, we're seeing that they have, they're genetically unique, they have resistance or tolerance to Eastern filbert blight, and they have high nut quality, or at least one in those groupings that's unique has high nut quality. So that's, again, very good from a breeding standpoint. We could kind of see those seedlings with high nut quality. We only have the seedlings in this particular principal component analysis. I don't have the cultivars in here, but you do see that those ones that have the higher nut quality kind of tended toward their own little grouping here. Now, with all that data, the conclusions that we can make from this, we could kind of pull out a couple out of all of that. That we see that the SSR markers show that the Eastern filbert blight resistant seedlings collected from Latvia and Lithuania, they seem to have some genetic, to be genetically distinct from those of Turkish origin. And so what that really says to us is that we have the first ever Eastern filbert blight resistant trees from Turkey, and they're genetically unique. We're excited about this because these Turkish hazelnuts are known for having excellent nut quality, round kernels. They have unique growing habits as well. This is the top producer of hazelnuts in the world, so to have something genetically unique from them that we can actually grow here in the United States, in the eastern United States, is very exciting. The trees that are shown to be genetically unique and have resistance to Eastern filbert blight, they have improved nut quality, and so we can move those forward in the breeding program. The Turkish seedlings were resistant to Eastern filbert blight, like I said, and they were phenotypically and genetically distinct. We also saw the Latvian and Lithuanian plants showed resistance and tolerance to Eastern filbert blight. The thing about them, though, a couple of them, they fell in the genetic analysis alongside many of the Northern European and Polish accessions. So we'd have to look to see if there's anything particularly special about our seedlings that we want to actually keep them in the program, because otherwise we already have these cultivars that are on the market that are doing well. Why would we keep a narrow genetic pool? We want to keep the genetic pool as wide as possible. So we already have good material from those areas with those genetic backgrounds. And that's similar. In that same vein, the promising seedling from Lithuania that we had seen it clustered closely with several commonly grown cultivars in a group that we found in a previous study. And they have superior nut quality and disease resistance, so we wouldn't necessarily want to move those forward in the breeding program. We can really start honing in on which seedlings we want to move forward in the breeding program or to put out to market and try to move forward in patenting based on the work that we've done here. Just a few acknowledgments. This work was actually funded by the Northern Nut Growers Association and the Rutgers and JAS. Any questions for me? Okay. That's the end. End of conference. Thank you, everyone.